or a mother that refused to let go. The love of a mother is indescribable. She made sure, even though the souls were not still living, she made sure that she never quit the place. She covered the place with sackcloth, and at the same time, she washed. She washed, she mounted guard to watch so that birds of the air will not come and make more mockery of the dead bodies of her precious sons. Can you imagine that she gathered the bodies of her sons from being eaten by birds during the day and by bits by night? So she made sure that no animal, no fly comes around the corpses of those hanged bodies. Can you imagine that? This is to the extent a mother's love can go. Even though the sons have parted, she refused to give up. What a woman who can wail, who can mourn because of her beloved sons. She mourned and mourned and mourned until she got a reaction from David, because what she did was reported to David. Several months passed by. She was in the same place, refused to be comforted, and never wanted any disgrace further over her dead children. The Bible said David was moved by the report about Rizpah. The act of Rizpah moved.
Thank you for the utterance which comes with the proclamation of the word. Thank you for the anointing which makes the word sweet and makes it enjoyable. Touch my lips and touch my spirit to communicate what you have intended for. Ask God to give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning I just quickly want to share with you something from the Gospel of St. Mark. Gospel of St. Mark. And I want to title what I'm going to speak with you briefly. I want to title it, Whosoever Shall Call on the Name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Now, in Mark chapter 10, the verse 46, there's a story of a young man. I'm not sure how old he was, but he was a full-fledged man. He was called Bartimaeus, and he was a blind beggar. Now, the Bible says in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, then, and they came to Jericho, and as he was referring to Jesus, as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. You know, oftentimes, for those who try to follow the Lord or to seek after him, you are often stigmatized. You sometimes are put down. Your friends begin to isolate you. Sometimes people begin to shout you down. It's so interesting that for those who choose to serve God, there is always some form of persecution. There is always some form of rejection. And there's always some form of mistreatment, which people who follow the Lord are bound to face. Why is it that way? Well, I don't know. But Jesus clearly said that for my name's sake, we shall be persecuted. Now, this was a blind man. And a blind man, of course, he has eyes but cannot see. And he was by the roadside, and his main job was to beg for money. And that's what he did for a living. But, you know, he wasn't contented with his situation. And, you know, the life of a beggar is a life of really, really misery in a sense. Because this man found himself, and as we all know, beggars find themselves dependent upon other people. And for some people, before they give you that pittance, before they give you that, those, you know, the, whatever change that is left in their hands, they might just throw it on the beggar or even utter some curse word and say all kinds of things, even when they are giving whatever they have. So I can imagine that Bartimaeus may have endured a lot of insults from people. People who were trying to show mercy with the gifts that they were giving. And so this young man, if I may call him so, had endured a lot of this. But along the line, he heard something. He heard that there was a man in town, and this man had been doing wonders. Whatever came his way, he touched and changed their lives. And they told him that the man's name was Jesus, and that this man descended from the tribe of David. And so Bartimaeus, I'm sure, had done his research and had found out. You know, it's amazing how blind people get information. I remember a story my wife told me years ago about some blind men who were her friend when she was a student many years back in school. And so those blind men were in a village next to their village. So they would come all the way. But, you know, she used to give them, you know, gifts and, you know, be friends with them. And so they liked her. And so they would begin to ask questions. They would say, what do you look like? Can I touch your nose? Can I feel your hands? So what is it like to see, you know? And they would ask her, what does your father look like? All those questions. But I saw from that sort of questioning that this blind people had some curiosity, you know, and they're able to get information, to have a feeling for what the world is like. And so I suppose that blind Bartimaeus also was in this situation, and he made all the research about Jesus. And so he was not persuaded that Jesus was the one who could impact or change the situation. And the story I was telling you earlier, you know, why I found that impressive about these blind friends of my wife was that they had a way of knowing when she was in school and a way of knowing when she was going to come back home. And so they were always eagerly waiting for her return from campus. So as soon as she landed, they would rush to come and see her. You know, I found the story so interesting, and I can relate it to this one of Bartimaeus. Now, he had found out all he needed to know about Jesus. And so he gets, I'm sure he told himself, one day, I will meet the Jesus. And I really, really would like to meet him. And amazingly, and in an answer to his prayer, the Bible said that Jesus came to Jericho, and as he was leaving, there was a great crowd following him. And then Bartimaeus happened to be by the roadside begging. I don't know whether he was changing his location. I suppose so, because, you know, everybody wants to make as much money as they can. And so I suppose that he was at beside the road, along the road to Jericho. And so whilst he was there, to his amazement, he saw and heard. In fact, he didn't see, but he heard. He heard a lot of commotion. And anybody would be concerned about his or his safety. And being blind, you know, he needed to be sure. He needed to know what was happening around him. Well, so he inquired, what's happening? What's going on? So he began to, you know, get information. And I really like the way this man operated. You see? And so he began to seek and to find out what was going on. And they told him that the commotion was about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was passing by. He said, what? Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing by? He confirmed again. They said, yes, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is passing by. He said, wow, this is my day. He told himself, this is my day. This is my chance. And the Bible says he began to scream. He began to cry out. You know what it means to cry out? He literally, you know, he bled out, you know, at the highest, you know, pitch of his voice. Said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus, Son of David. He began to scream. And can you imagine with such a crowd and with such a commotion, if the voice of Bartimaeus could be picked up? And even it was, I'm sure it was so loud that it overshadowed or even almost subdued the voice of the crowd that they had to try and shut him down. Can you imagine this? He saw that that was his opportunity. Hallelujah. And so he screamed and screamed. And the people tried to shut him down. Like I said earlier, for those who try to seek the Lord or to go after him, there is always a price to pay. Sometimes you people will shut you down. People will snub you. People will treat you like you don't matter no more. Even if you have friends, the moment you say you have become a Christian, they put you in another category. They feel you have become inferior. They feel you've not become one of those people. Those Jesus people, one of those hallelujah people. Sometimes they call us hallelujah people. You know? So they began to shut him down and began to, you know, quieten him. But the man refused. And that is what should happen to you when people begin to treat you like you don't matter no more. Sometimes in your own family, the moment you begin to intensify your work with God or you want to serve God better, you become an outcast. You become an outcast. But you know what? Don't be discouraged. Don't lose courage. Don't let people put you down because you are working with Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Bartimaeus continued to scream and to shout the name of Jesus. And then the Bible says at some point, Jesus heard him and Jesus stopped and said, call the man. Call the man. And then they called him. Now the very people who were now shutting him down had to now, you know, stop and give him a little respect and say, now the master called you. Those who are trying to treat you like you don't matter no more because of Jesus, they are the very people who will turn around to salute you. The day Jesus turns to you, the day you get his attention, their respect will be restored. The honor will be restored. And everything they have tried to say about you, which wasn't true, they will change their opinion. You know, I like what happens. Whenever God comes on the scene, people's opinions change. People's attitude changes. When God is looking away, it's like you don't matter. But the day he turns his focus on you, the day he turns his focus, all the honor which left will come, all the respect which left will come, all the blessings which were withheld will come back. And those who didn't treat you well, they will not begin to lift you high esteem. Hallelujah. I declare unto you this morning that never turn from your back on Jesus. Never become discouraged because people are mistreating you. Never lose heart because they have snubbed you and they have treated you like an outcast. I am telling you, the one who you are calling, your cry is going out. And very soon he will stop and he will say, call me that man. Call me that woman. Call me that girl. Call me that boy. And when that happens, they will all stand at attention and they will not honor you. I declare unto you, let this be your portion. 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 In Jesus' name. Oh, the Bible says God will not cast away forever. He will not turn a deaf ear forever. For a season, he will turn his focus up. But after a while, he will shine his glorious light upon you again. Don't ever respond or be discouraged because of the way people are treating you. I know it's not easy to follow the Lord. People will treat you like you are trash. They'll treat you like you are not important. Oh, even when you have all that you you have the best things in life. You have the best credentials. For the fact that you have a tag as a child of God, that alone makes you an outcast in your eyes. But listen to me. Just like this man, keep crying out. Keep crying out. Keep crying out. Keep crying out. And the Lord, our God, he will answer your cry. In Jesus' name. Now, just to cut a long story short, the Bible says, Jesus said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart. Get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. He knew also that Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher. I can tell you that this man did his homework very well. You know, blind people can be very intelligent. They are very smart. You know, their intuition is so sharp because they cannot see. So somehow they are compensated by becoming so sensitive that they can pick up all kinds of things. Little sound, little movement, they pick them up. Hallelujah. And so he had gathered all his information, and he knew that Jesus was also a teacher. So he said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. How well do you know Jesus? Do you know him that well? If you know him that well, I know your cry will come out to him in Jesus' name. And said, so he said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Your miracle, your blessing, your breakthrough is not that far away. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, keep shouting the name of Jesus. Even when they call you names, keep shouting. Even when they keep hurling insults at you, keep shouting the name. One day, he will stop and he will say, call me that man. Call me that woman. Call me that girl. Call me that boy. And your enemies will be put to shame. They will be silent forever. Hallelujah. They will be put to shame. That day, your life will change. The problems in your life will cease. The struggles in your life will come to an end. The difficulties will be cut off in Jesus' name. I guarantee you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I guarantee you the Lord will not snub forever. He will not ignore you forever. He will not shut his heart and his ears forever. A time is coming, and it's very soon when he will answer you. I tell you that time is even closer than it ever has been. Receive that encouragement. Receive that empowerment. Receive that boldness. Receive that courage right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because of time, I'm going to just end. And I want to thank you so very much for sharing this time with me. Remember that the Lord is nearer than you ever think. I pray his blessing into your life. I pray his peace into your life. I pray his mercy. I pray his kindness to overflow in your life. Let this month of June indeed become a month of dominion. Just like God gave dominion to mankind on the day he made him on the sixth day. Let this be your month of dominion. May you have dominion over every situation, every contrary matter, whatever has set itself up against you, whatever has been an opposition, whatever has been a source of concern and trouble in your life. Receive right now the grace of God, the mercy of God, the favor of God, the goodness of our God. Let this month be the month of testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord turn his face towards you. The Lord give you his peace. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you mightily, mightily, mightily in this month of June in the name of Jesus Christ. May your voice be magnified before the throne of God, that God, even the Lord Jesus, will pick up your voice. The Lord be with you. I'll see you again. Bye-bye. This has been Apostle Larry Dawkins, Senior Pastor, Rivers of Life Bible Church. If you want to reach me, you can call 06-260-46432 or just go to our website, rolbc.com, and you will have all the contact information. The Lord bless you. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
to us that you have enjoyed all of this religious segment that we've been bringing to you to jack up your spirit, to empower you, to push you forward so that you can enjoy the week and enjoy the day. You know, as it is that there is no blessing that you can have when the word of the Lord is not mixed with it. You cannot enjoy this week, you cannot enjoy the week or enjoy the month if you do not learn to honor God first. And I trust that with this powerful word of God I have come to you, that you have been blessed. This is a season, the man of God, an apostle of our own time, a man of integrity.
Voice of Naija is right here to promote your business.
The Lord bless
you. Events, weddings, birthday parties, baby ceremony.
Forum where issues of Christendom have been discussed. So our topic today is very interesting, and we encourage that you tune in case you have something to say. It's a topic that is going to provoke you, and sometimes some of you is going to make you to relax and change your view on how issues must be. Many times been misinterpreted, but today we want to hear from other school of thought what they feel about a particular topic. I'm not gonna open it up because I'm gonna hand it over to the one who is the host of this particular time and no other person but Apostle Larry Dorkin of Rivers of Life Bible Church, you know, my co-presenter in Radio Voice of Niger. So shortly we'll be coming your way by 7:30, but I'd like you to give a call to somebody, pick up your phone and give a call to somebody, tell the person to join you and let us enjoy this segment. Don't forget to give us a call on 0207371619. That is the studio line. Give us a call and make your view known. To remind some of you who have not yet heard of the latest in town, it's about Majesty Christian Television Network, where, you know, the issue of Christendom is being spoken about. It's a Christian channel propagating the gospel, lifting up contemporary preachers in the Netherlands and its environment to you, bringing the word of the Lord. Go to www.majestytv.org. And then see for yourself what God is doing. It's a channel that is being geared to uplift your heart through the word of the Lord. When you are discouraged, when you feel lonely, when you feel rejected, when you feel that you need the blessings of the Lord, I activate that channel because men and women of God are speaking through that channel to spirit up. Don't miss it. It is www.majestytv.org. It is a Christian channel for our end time. God bless you.
is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Come on, everybody. Let's call Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are.
A very good morning to you once again, my friends out there, and we trust that you're enjoying the programming so far. My name is Apostle Larry Dokeno, and
I'm Apostle Helen Dokeno. We are transmitting on 103.8 Kevin and 105.2 ETA, all the way from the streets of Amsterdam, where we are based.
And we are, well, promising you a very glorious time together. So please stick by as we bring to you the Pastoral Forum.
And remember, you can always call us at 020-737-1619 as the broadcast is going on.
Good morning to you, my friends. It's a joy to be back on the Pastoral Forum this morning. And as you know, we have adapted it to the Believer's Forum. Why? Because we believe that the voices of the pastors and also of the sheep must be heard. And so we're so delighted to be here. I have a special lineup of guests for us. I will shortly put them on and by introducing them. So please stay tuned. Yes, yes. Imagine what it would be like with these loyal ladies who are about to blow the airwaves with their loyalty. I am very, very honored. I'm telling you the truth, the gospel truth, to have these wonderful women with me in the studio. They have demonstrated that their loyalty is not in word, but in deed. I just can't imagine how they have made time specially to be with us on these three shows. It's a testimony to their loyalty. And I'm very, very proud of them. And I'm sure you are too, whoever you are listening to us out there. Okay. Now, let me introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, my panelists for today. I have in the studio once again our precious lady and sister Lydia Blythe Myers of Maranatha Community Transformation Center. Let's receive her now. Say hello to our listeners, please.
Good morning, listeners. I'm happy to be back once again, and I hope we will have a wonderful time. Please, this time, I would like to hear you call to the studio. God bless you.
Well, you heard it by yourself. I have Sister Rick Karg of Refiner's House. I tell you, she looks business from head to toe. Always dress smart and looking sharp. Thank you for coming, Sister Rick. Say hello to our listeners.
Amen. Good morning. I'm Sister Rick, and I'm glad to be here today. Just stand by.
That's good. I have this today for the first time, and I missed as a very special guest, Sister Muriel Blythe, our favorite worship leader. And we thank God for her life and how the Lord has used her and is still using her to bless our community. Welcome, Sister Muriel.
Thank you, Apostle.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Uh-huh. Well. Today we're going to be trying to conclude this topic. And we just hope the Lord will help us to make a good job of it. Hallelujah. Now, just for a few, to guide us, let me just give these rules. Our discussions are to be objective and open-minded. And we want to pay the respect to all parties. I want to avoid actual names and direct references to subjects where necessary. We do not want to use this medium to settle personal scores. And also, we want to keep in mind our goal, and that is to generate recommendations for our church community life and all our relationships. These are our ground rules. And first of all, I would like to celebrate our guests this morning because I believe that they have been loyal to the kingdom of God, to their pastors and to their churches, and that is why they're here today. So once again, my applause to all of you.
Yes.
Well, I want to start with Sister Muriel because I'm going to ask her some questions, and these questions have already been answered by the other panelists. The first question, Sister Muriel, is you've been with Praise Valley Temple and our friend Bishop Bernard for quite some time now. Mm. Now, how many years have you been loyal to his ministry?
It's about 16 years.
16 years?
Yes.
Okay. So here we are counting 20 years for Sister Lydia, 10 years for Sister Rick with Pastor Billy, and 16 years with Bishop Owe Bernard.
Yes.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. Uh-huh. Now, the question we like to ask, and the fact is that we are wondering, because in our community now, you know, some people are really unstable in churches, and it's not a very good trend. And so as ministers and as leaders, as concerned Christians, we want to try and help them learn to be stable. It's like people who don't want to stay married because you want to change husbands or wives, you know, because this one is nicer, this one is better. But it's not supposed to be that way. So the question is, why and how did you remain so loyal to him all these years? What's the secret?
I don't know if it's a secret.
Well, I think must have made it possible. So that we want you to share with our community.
Well, I've been there for 16 years. Through the storm and through the rain.
Uh-huh.
We had some...
Oh, so there were storms and rains.
Of course, a lot.
because some of us have the notion that there are no storms. It's always like a path to heaven. You know, it's smooth and easy and
no
problems.
No, I've been there early in the beginning. And I mean, we were just building up the church.
Yes.
If you see Praise Valley Temple now,
uh-huh.
And if you knew it before...
Yeah.
Then I don't think if the people that are there now would be there. Okay. I don't know if
all of them
will
be there. Because they have no idea what
they don't have no idea. Because now they see the beauty of it.
Yes.
But they didn't see all those struggles and you know. And I've been there because I believe in the ministry of Bishop Owe Bernard, that is one.
Okay.
I believe in the God that I serve.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe that it's good to go from one church to the other because it's not an example.
It's not an example.
Not at all. Mm. And it doesn't help you because every church has its own vision. So if you go from the other church to the other church, I think it will bring a lot of confusion in your own Christian life,
really?
In your lifestyle. And I don't know. Why should I go to another church? Because I believe every church has a struggle.
Uh-huh.
So if Praise Valley Temple is going through some struggle,
yes.
And I go to another church that seems better,
yeah.
I believe sooner or later that church will also go through some struggles. What will I do then? Run away again and go to another church?
Mm.
No, I don't believe that. And me for myself, I'm somebody that is loyal. If I say yes to something, I will go for it 100%. And as long as you don't remove me, if Bishop Bernard says today, okay, Mary, you should go now.
Yeah.
I think even then I won't go. I will just give him some
so is it, right, you must stay.
Yeah, that I have to stay. So, that is me. If I say yes to something,
it's yes.
It's yes.
It is beautiful to hear what you are saying.
Yeah.
I wish everybody could say what you are saying.
Yeah.
So can I ask a very, very, you know, direct question? Did no one ever make you an offer to give you a position?
Oh yes.
Or a title?
Yes. Oh yes.
Or money? Yes. Or even a prophecy?
Oh yes.
To draw you to their church?
Oh yes.
Oh yes. What does the oh yes mean?
Well, no. Let me tell you the truth. The people from Amsterdam, they respect Bishop so much.
Uh-huh.
They won't do that.
They won't do what?
No, they won't. I don't think they will do that.
They'll
just
do that.
To try me,
uh-huh,
get in their church, because
they know.
Most of them know my relationship with him.
Okay.
So it's not, he's not just my bishop.
Mm-hmm.
He's my spiritual father, and I don't have any secrets from him. There is nothing that I cannot discuss with my spiritual father.
Yeah.
So
I like the way you put it, and I wish others could be proud of their pastors this way.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so that is one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, somebody tried. I'm not going to call any names.
That's
but
no need,
a very, a very big man of God. He tried to get me out of Israeli temple. Yes.
Thank you for exposing that secret. You don't have to mention names, but
no.
This is to let people know that these things do happen.
Yeah.
But when you are loyal to your pastor or your spiritual father or your spiritual mother, nobody can entice you.
Yeah.
It's like a woman who is going out there, another man is asking you, let's go.
Yeah.
And then you follow. You are unfaithful or disloyal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So people have tried that.
Yes.
Yeah. And you said flat no. Yes.
No, I just, well, I think I didn't even give him an answer.
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't give him
an answer. So what did he offer you? A new car or a new home?
No.
Prophecy?
He offered me to come to America.
Well, let me not go further.
Yeah, he offered me to go to America and trusting me that it will be better for my ministry, for my private life, and everything. So, yeah, you ask me a question, I give you an answer.
Thank you.
But I'm not calling any names.
No, that's not it. No. We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Believers Forum this afternoon. We are transmitting to you live on 105.2 megahertz. 103.8 on cable. Now, if you want to react or respond to this discussion, you have a point of view or you want to share your own story, you can call 02836-81968. 02836-81968. Thank you very much. Now, one more question before we all begin to dive in. So, were there certain challenges which tested your loyalty all these 16 years? Because if you will throw light on this, it might help those who are struggling with whether to be loyal or not. Do you face some challenges? Because you mentioned some rains and storms, but you know, you can maybe throw some light on that for us.
Yeah, and you know, I've been through some storms that at a certain point I left. I didn't left Praise Valley Temple, but I didn't go to church anymore.
Yeah.
I just stayed home. And it was just an attack on my life, but I by that time I couldn't see it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
There was only one thing I was doing, and that is depending on God, just calling his name and asking him what to do. And that was very difficult, but at a certain point I knew that I have to go back and ask my apologies to my spiritual father.
I like that.
I went back. Yeah.
I like that. So would you tell the same to somebody else who is beginning disloyal to his or her spiritual father or mother?
Yeah, I believe if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit will speak to you.
Yes.
If you are doing the right thing or not.
Yeah.
And for myself, I really felt in my spirit that I wasn't doing the right thing. Because during that time, I went to other churches, but I couldn't fit. I was like,
fit.
What
you were am like, I out
doing
of water.
Here? Yes. I'm not. I don't belong here, you know. Even if I was trying, but when I went home, I was crying. I said, I have to go back. I have to humble myself and ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
And I believe if somebody's listening, and it's not always easy. Sometimes, you know, pastors, bishops, they are all human beings, and they make mistakes. But the pressure is so much on them, you know, that sometimes
it's not intentional to
not at all
hurt anybody,
and it's also not personal.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't take things too personal. So if you feel and you believe that, hey, I belong there. This is my church. Mm-hmm. And maybe the pastor didn't call you back, or the sister didn't call you back, or the brother that hurt you didn't call you back. You go. And you humble yourself. And
wow.
And I know that in months and years, uh-huh, you will be healed and restored, and know that that is your place and that is where you belong. And God will show you that that is your place and that is where you belong.
You know, can it, what you're saying is very interesting, because for somebody like you, who we all know in the community, if you can share your experience with our listeners, to with other believers in the community, for them to know that, you know, there's a place of loyalty, and that it is normal to go through certain challenges, certain testings in your spiritual life. But that does not necessarily mean, okay, you know, you move from place to place just to find comfort and temporary comfort and temporary joy. Does that really work? I mean, can you throw more light on maybe some of the things you maybe face, and how you stood your ground to overcome it? How the Lord helped you and brought you through this thing?
Okay, one of the things is when my daughter became pregnant at a very young age of 15 years old, there were a lot of people that had their opinion about it.
Yes.
Even in the church.
Was that one of the things which influenced your leaving temporarily?
Oh, no. My leaving temporarily was something else.
Was something else, okay.
It was something totally else, and okay. I don't want to go there.
Okay. That's okay, we understand.
No. No, it's not that it's a secret, but sometimes you need to close certain chapters, and I don't want to talk about that chapter anymore.
Yes.
But the other challenge I face is when my daughter was pregnant, 15 years old, praise and worship leader. Everybody knows you. You are called to lead a conference and everything. So for me, it was very painful. It was very difficult. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I also went to Bishop, because people were talking about it, even in my own church.
Yes.
I didn't really feel the
support you needed,
the understanding
you needed, you didn't
by
have
that time, because everybody was looking at me as a bad mom.
Yes.
But then,
while
they knew me, so everybody used that opportunity to really put me down. They think, hey, we found something
against her now,
so we're gonna get her. So that was very difficult for me to stand.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, somebody even wrote a letter to Bishop and told him that, how is it possible that she's coming to church, leading us to praise and worship,
and
her daughter is pregnant, and she smiles, she doesn't cry, she doesn't show any
open remorse or something.
And I was like, hello, it is painful enough.
Beautiful, yes.
And if I have to cry, I will go to my Father, my Heavenly Father, and I will talk to Him.
Uh-huh.
And He's the only one that can give me comfort right now, because everybody is talking about it, gossiping about it, and trying to put me down. So why should I show any tears in church while I don't feel any backing?
Uh-huh.
So that period in my life was very difficult, to stand, you know?
It was like you were all alone. Nobody was really with you.
Except
meanwhile, you've been standing
my family
there to be a blessing to them.
Really?
But because they saw one little spot on you, everybody's going to attack you.
Yeah. So it was the support of Bishop. It was because of him.
Mm-hmm.
He was backing me, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very important that you know that you're pastor, the spiritual father is supporting you no matter what people are saying.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very important, because if he wasn't supporting me, I don't know how I would survive. But because of him, I was able to stand, because of the counsel he was giving me, you know, and telling me to go on, to be strong, and that everything will be fine. That made me stand. But I believe if he wasn't there, if
would
God wasn't there, my family wasn't there, it would have been very difficult. Very, very difficult.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Amazing what you went through.
Yeah.
But the greatest part of it is that you also stood firm. You didn't feel like, you know, moving out or leaving the country or leaving Amsterdam or changing your church or changing your pastor because of distance.
No.
Awesome. So what do you feel about, you know, people who act in a disloyal manner when they have to leave one church to the other over sometimes really flimsy reasons, not because of anything, especially when they have done something wrong?
Immorality. Yes.
I mean, you think it's justified to just abandon your pastor or your church or your ministry or your responsibilities over one little correction, for example?
No, I don't believe in it. And you know what I believe is that even if you are leaving, I believe you're going to face it again with another pastor.
Yeah. You believe that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, life... Mm-hmm. In life, you will go through certain things.
Yes.
That will make you stronger. Mm-hmm. It will make you wiser.
Yes.
It will even make you better.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is something you are not agreeing with,
yes,
the best thing is to face it, to talk about it.
Yes.
And I believe loyalty has a lot to do with maturity. If you are a mature Christian,
mm-hmm,
you know that what you are doing, you're not doing for men,
mm-hmm,
but you're doing it for God.
Yes.
Then you are able to stand.
Yes.
But if you are doing the things in church,
uh-huh,
because you want
to impress somebody,
yeah, you want
or you want attention,
yeah, then you won't be able to stand. How long will you be able to stand?
Mm.
But if you know that I'm there because God wanted me to be there, I'm there, mm-hmm, because I love God and I want to serve God no matter what.
Yeah.
Then you will be able to stand, and then you won't go from church to church, but you will stand.
Now, do you believe? And this question goes to all of us. I read in the scriptures. I didn't look up the reference, but I think the book of Acts. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, he plants people. He's the one who plants us in the body. He puts us in the body. Either in Acts or Corinthians, the Holy Spirit is the one who puts us as members. He puts us in the body. Now, do you believe that everybody has his or her place in the body of Christ? And this goes to all of us. What do you think? I mean, in the context of loyalty, which we're discussing right now, do you believe that everybody has his place, which the Holy Spirit has assigned in the body of Christ? Okay, Sister Lida, maybe you want to take that up.
Well, from my side, you know it already with all my examples about family, and you don't choose your parents, so I definitely believe it, yes.
Uh-huh. And Sister Rick.
Yes, everybody has his talents, and I think God knows exactly what he wants you to do. The only thing what you have to do is listen and look what God wants you to do.
Uh-huh.
And if you know that, you know where he put you. Sometimes, if I'm looking to myself,
mm-hmm,
I always laugh because I'm thinking that the things I'm doing,
yes,
I don't have any knowledge from it,
yes,
but I'm doing it. And the way I'm doing it, I ask myself, I sometimes say to myself, this is not me.
What do you mean you're doing?
I'm doing things with children.
Oh, with the children, that's what you were talking about.
With children, and I never had knowledge or
training, meditation training
from children,
mm-hmm,
but everybody's calling me that the way I'm doing things with children,
uh-huh,
then I said, but it's not me, because I don't learn from it, I don't know nothing about it,
yes,
but I'm doing it for years, and sometimes I ask myself, but why I have to do this?
So you think that the Lord maybe gave you that gift and place you in the body?
Yes.
It must be, otherwise I cannot do it. It is it is because of him.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, so, Samuria, what do you believe also that God has a place for everybody in the body, and he positions us there, and that we're supposed to remain in that part of the body?
100%.
You sure?
Through every struggle, I have seen it.
Okay.
When I left the church,
yes,
I become so sick.
Yes.
That, you know, I knew that something was wrong. I didn't do something that was right.
Yes.
I felt it through my whole body.
Yes.
So I believe that if God wants you somewhere,
yes,
you have to stay there.
You have to stay there. Yes. He puts you there.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think must be happening in the life of those who have, let's say, I use the word dismembered themselves, because dismembered means cut off. Because if the Holy Spirit has placed you in the part of the body, that's supposed to be your position, because there's a function he's placing you. It's what happens to people who have dismembered themselves. Yes. What do you think might be going on in their lives right now?
Well,
this is open to all of us, of course.
Yeah.
I think that those people are so much confused, because deep down in their heart, they know they have to go back.
Yes.
They know it.
Mm.
But because maybe they are proud,
yes,
maybe they are not there yet,
mm-hmm,
maybe sometimes it's not even proud, maybe they are scared.
They're scared
to go back. Sometimes, mm, you know, a pastor can also give you a feeling like, oh, you know?
You're not welcome.
Sometimes there is certain distance. So maybe they are a little bit scared,
mm,
to go back. They, mm, don't know how to go back and how to take a step. So I think they are... they are going everywhere just to find that first love they first felt. That is what I think. They are just going around to have that feeling, to have that that convenience what they first had in their first church. I believe they are looking for it, but they can't find it. That is what I think.
That's what I think. What do you think, Sister Rick? Yeah. How would they be feeling? I mean, people who have dismembered themselves.
I think you cannot express the feeling from somebody else. But what I know is that people forget very, very. They forget very easily, and I agree. Pride. Always people are pointing the finger to somebody else. They don't look to their own. They go to other ones and talk, but look to their own life. What they do, how they reacted, is something that they never do, or somebody has to tell them. But to stop it, because normal they go from place to place, they talk about it, what they don't like, what is not good, but point the finger on yourself and look into your own life, that what did I do, and what can I do to face this problem. But that is not what they are doing. They don't forgive, and the pride don't make it easily for them to humble themselves. They always want somebody else has to come to them. That is my experience, what I see.
So Lydia, you want to add something to that? What do you think they must be going through, people who are moving about like this?
As Sister Muriel was speaking, the only thing what I was seeing in the spirit was the Israelites who were wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they missed the promised land.
Promised land.
So that is what was really in my mind, that if you are not walking, because that means you're not walking in the will of God. You know? If you
so you are saying that there are believers who have missed the mark, even though
of course, because
they are Christians, so you know they have the Holy Ghost and all that. They're in the church, but they have missed their place.
You cannot develop yourself the way you're supposed to. Furthermore, you have something that I need, and I'm missing it.
Okay.
You know, because if you're part of my church and you've left, that means I'm missing something. Because we are all very, very important in the body. Nobody is more important than the other person. So they are not walking in the will of God, and because of that, they are walking in a spiritual desert, so they never reach their destination.
You're making a very good point. You've actually blown me away with that point. Honestly, I was going to say something, but I just
escaped. They never grow up.
They never grow up. Now, what would you like to tell pastors, ministers, church leaders in this matter? What advice would you give to them about dealing with people who are acting disloyal? Because some people believe that you must belong to the biggest church in town, or the church with the best choir, or the church with the most powerful prayer group. You know, people have all these ideas about which is the best church. Is it about really the best church, or is it about our position in the body? Can you comment on this, please?
I would really like to say something, because it becomes the best church because of you. So if you're not there, it can never become the best church.
Really? Will somebody accept what you're just saying? Because it doesn't sound... It's nice, but I wish you can persuade me more.
No,
why would you tell me to remain where I am? Because it is the best church. Even though, the pastor doesn't treat me well, I don't like the wife.
But that's what I'm saying. Church? Because if you can see that something is wrong somewhere, then you are needed there. You understand? Because you have the eyes to see what's wrong. And then it comes to boldness, you know, openness, transparency, to speak up for yourself. The Bible says that we shouldn't be afraid. Fear is not part of us. So we shouldn't be afraid to go to the person of whom we see that something is wrong. Just correct one another in love, and that's all.
Now, what advice would you have for ministers or pastors who see these things happening? Because you are not going to speak, let's say from the pew, let them know what you feel about how this kind of issue should be handled. Sister Muriel, and then Sister Rick.
I believe that the pastors, the ministers, they should be open. They should be given a lot of love, even though you know you have to see beyond somebody's weakness and beyond somebody's fault. Okay. If you have that as a pastor,
yeah.
as a minister,
yeah.
so don't see the person for the things he's doing wrong, mm-hmm. but see the person as how God sees him.
Okay.
You know, that is very important. So when the person comes to you, mm-hmm. you are not like defended and, yeah, this is what you did wrong. No, you will just receive the person, forgive the person, and say, it's okay, from now, we are going further. And,
okay.
of course, you have to build a relationship again because you have
damaged something, broken.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah, something is broken. Yes. So for you to earn that trust again,
uh-huh.
it's going to cost time.
Wow. Well, I would like to take a short break here, you know, and then we'll be back with this special guest. I'm trying to get my music playing.
Tell me why you, Father Jesus, why you be around.